Buongiorno a tutti, grazie per essere qui di questo lunedì mattina. È veramente un piacere per l'Istituto Bruno Leoni e siamo molto grati al Consolato americano per l'opportunità di ospitare questo incontro. Come sapete, nelle scorse settimane si è aperta una finestra di opportunità per diciamo così, uno dei pochi dispositivi che può effettivamente rivelare un effetto positivo per la crescita non solo italiana ma di tutto il continente europeo, che può anche forse metterci in condizione di porre una più decisa pressione regolatoria sulle autorità continentali nella direzione di una maggiore semplificazione, di un oliare i meccanismi della regolamentazione dell'attività economica in Europa. Questo dispositivo appare essere finalmente un trattato tra Stati Uniti ed Unione Europea che, riaprendo in modo come dire, veramente spettacolare, data il peso e l'entità dei due attori coinvolti, la stagione dei bilaterali, anche un po' come dire a consuntivo dello stallo del Doha Round, può forse insomma metterci in condizione di fare in questa crisi esattamente il contrario di quello che avvenne nella crisi degli anni 30, cioè puntare sul libero scambio, puntare sul superamento di quello che resta delle barriere protezioniste per creare occasioni di crescita economica. Una delle poche buone notizie del modo in cui questa crisi è stata gestita è che la lezione, soprattutto americana a dire il vero, degli anni 30, di come il sovraccarico di ambizioni protezionistiche e di nuove barriere doganali andò a deprimere ulteriormente un'economia già in crisi, è stata appresa e i leader del mondo, se non altro, si sono come dire, posti il problema, ecco, in questa contingenza storica di non cedere nuovamente a quella tentazione. Noi siamo estremamente grati a Elena Bryan per essere con noi oggi, ma io mi permetterei di chiedere al signor Console se per caso avesse intenzione e piacere di fare un breve indirizzo di saluto ai nostri partecipanti prima di presentare Elena Bryan.
Grazie molto e grazie anche all'Istituto Bruno Leoni per aver ospitato questo incontro stamattina. Adesso io passo all'inglese perché Elena parlerà in inglese. Just again a thank you to Bruno Leoni for hosting this opportunity. And for me, a great opportunity to introduce not only a speaker, but a close and longtime friend. I've known Elena for probably half of my life. And she's a great example of something which Italians often complain about in their own society, which is a lack of meritocracy, where in Italy it really depends more about who you know than who you are. Elena started her career with the U.S. Trade Representative's Office over a quarter of a century ago as the IT specialist. When I first met her in Geneva working at the USTR office, she ran the computer systems at USTR. But through her qualities, her strength, her intellect, she rose up to become a trade negotiator, eventually the lead negotiator for the United States with Southeast Asian countries. She worked on several US free trade agreements. And most recently, before her current job, was Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative, famously known in Washington as a Dowster, Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative for Trade and Development. That is essentially for all the issues dealing with the developing world. But since 2011 has been our principal U.S. representative on trade issues at the U.S. mission to the European Union in Brussels. So, just as you have handed over responsibility for trade negotiations to the Commission in Brussels, we have handed over responsibility for negotiating with the Commission to Elena Bryant in Brussels. So she is now our point person for a series of negotiations which are going to be opening up, I think, formally in the coming weeks, what we're calling a transatlantic trade and investment partnership with Europe, but essentially an incredibly ambitious effort between both the United States and the European Union, the two largest economies of the world, to try to move beyond where we are right now, to open up trade negotiations, to liberalize trade, and especially the important beyond the border issues, not just about tariffs, but talking about the regulatory framework, the standards that we all use, which have become, in fact, the more important elements, which are limiting freedom of trade between our countries, but also, I think, limiting the competitiveness of both of our countries in the global environment. It's hopefully going to be setting a precedent for the world. If you have the two largest economies in the world which can agree upon a set of standards, they will become, in fact, the global standards for the future, an important step. But the real challenge, I think, will be whether both the United States and the European countries can rise above their own special interests and focus on the greater good for both of our systems. So with that, I hand the floor over to Elena Bryan and look forward to her remarks on where we stand.
Good morning. Thanks to both of you for the lovely introductions. Sometimes it's a little dangerous when you have somebody that's known you for a long time. Expand upon your resume. It is true, I did run the computer systems at one point, which means that I have a lifelong interest in being a gadget geek. So a twit cam is kind of interesting. As has been mentioned, we are embarking officially in the next week or two on the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which we call in the US TTIP. We seem to have a proliferation of T agreements lately. We have TTIP, we have the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we're also in Geneva embarked together with the EU on something called the TISA, Trade in International Services Agreement. TTIP, how did we end up with TTIP? Not TTIP the name, but TTIP the concept. Naming agreements and negotiations is always a delicate science that often comes up with odd configurations. I will say I had a couple of suggestions for what we might call TTIP. And when you get into a multiple language situation, you can come up with different reactions. Someone said, we thought about TATA, Transatlantic Trade Agreement. Several of my colleagues said, well, in Spanish, that means grandmother. A lovely grandmother, but grandmother. So the US and the EU have the largest economic relationship in the world. We account for nearly half of world GDP and 30% of world trade. Every day, about 2 billion euro worth of goods cross the Atlantic. And we have, between invested on both sides, about $2.8 trillion in investment stock. We have essentially low tariffs between us, on an average about 3% of goods on goods. But with that volume of trade, that ends up to be a lot. In the November 2011, time flies when you're having fun, our leaders, President Obama and Presidents Barroso and Van Rompuy, at the US-EU summit, tasked their trade staffs with taking a hard analytical look at whether there were possibilities to have a single agreement or multiple agreements to enhance our economic relationship. The beast that did this was called the High Level Working Group on Jobs and Growth. Last February, the report of the HLWG, as we call it, came out. It's public, you may have seen it. The assessment and the recommendation that the US administration and the commission made to the leaders that was that we embark on a comprehensive trade and investment negotiation, the TTIP. The common objectives in this negotiation are essentially five. Eliminating or reducing conventional barriers to trade in goods, including tariffs and tariff rate quotas. Elimination, reduction, or prevention of barriers to trade in goods, services, and investment. Enhanced compatibility of regulations and standards. Eliminating, reducing, or preventing unnecessary behind the border non-tariff barriers to trade in all categories. And enhancing our cooperation for the development of rules and principles on global issues of common concern, and also for the achievement of shared economic goals. Process-wise, we, both the Commission and the U.S. Needed to pursue domestic procedures before we could start negotiating. For the EU, we expect that this Friday, that the trade ministers will approve a negotiating directive for the Commission. And next week, on the end of Tuesday, the 90-day consultation period that we have with our Congress will end. That will free both of us to actually start negotiations, we expect in early July. Now, the question that's frequently asked, you know, we've thought about this before, or as some people say, we've seen this movie before, but the ending was different last time. Why would the ending be different this time? Why would the ending be successful? Why could we have an agreement? I think there's a couple of main reasons that our leaders considered and helped to influence their decisions. One, both of our economies need jobs and growth, very clearly. Two, the world has changed. There are different players in the world of different strengths than there was 15 years ago. And one of the things that some of these new entrants or in a new form in the world trading system have done, have challenged us to be more competitive and efficient. And three, technology has changed. A lot of the existing rules reflect technology that was very old, particularly on the regulatory side. So do we have an opportunity to update and improve some of what we do to reflect modern technology? I think it was not an easy decision on our side. I won't speak for the Commission. It took us, we needed to investigate fairly carefully weather conditions have changed that would allow completion or achievement of a good agreement. And by good agreement, I mean an agreement that has benefits for both sides and is politically sustainable on both sides. Because no agreement, particularly between two large powers, can ever get through our legislatures if it's not balanced and politically sustainable and supportable. I think our negotiations are going to be pretty tough. They're going to be intense. We are committed to do this in a relatively short period of time. There are different views on what that means. I'm about to have a new boss, assuming the Senate confirms him relatively quickly, Mike Froman. And Mike, my new boss would be the USTR. Mike has famously said, we want to finish this agreement on one tank of gas. So there are lots of discussions about what does that mean? What kind of car is it? How fuel efficient it is? What kind of gas is it going to use? How fast is it driving? I think, you know, we want to get this done as expeditiously as possible without skimping on the substance. And this, as one business person in Brussels said, this is not an agreement for one administration. It's an agreement for the long term, and we should get it right. But I think we're also very conscious that there are benefits to both sides that we can deliver, that we should be able to deliver more quickly. You'll notice that you didn't get a real time frame out of me, but I think, you know, in the next couple of years we need to get this done. I think that I will stop there. and see what kind of questions people have.
That's great. Thank you very much for setting up.